Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Just two gangsters of love speaking on the pompatus of work. Hi, kids. You're listening to the Chad and Cheese Podcast. I'm your co-host, Joel Maurice Cheeseman.
This is Chad 1864 Soash.
And on this episode, checking out of Checker, LinkedIn embraces the big screen, and who'd you rather? Let's do this.
Okay. Before we get into this, I have a question. Mm-hmm. So here in Indiana, I've been trying to mull through this over the last couple of days. Here in Indiana, we've had what's called the brain drain, which means people get educated here and then they leave. Mm-hmm. So let's say, you know, we have tons of engineers that are in Purdue.
Sure. Rose Holman, Purdue. Yeah.
Right. They go to Purdue. They get educated. They eject, right? They get the fuck out of Indiana. Okay. And they do for a number of reasons, but the competition for companies to attract great talent to a state, mm-hmm. economic developments, right? And working with state government, working with federal government, I know that is a thing they talk about all the time. So set this up.
Set it up.
This week, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled that a near total abortion ban from 1864 is enforceable. How do companies... doing business in the state of Arizona who are trying their damnedest to get the great talent into their companies, into Arizona, mm-hmm. into Phoenix, into Tempe, and into Arizona. How do they deal with this? Because this is going to be a real recruiting issue for companies trying to compete for great talent. How do they do it?
Well, first off, talking about college, colleges recruiting students, a lot of students,
that's, you know,
news reports coming out that students don't want to go to schools where abortion is, quite frankly, illegal, not even a gray area. It's just straight up Civil War era laws.
Think of all the fun that you have in college, right?
All the dumb fun, all the bad decisions that you make in college, and also trying to make the Plan B pill illegal. And so
I don't get it, man.
Yeah, very, very confusing. I mean, I think, you know, the GOP has to be wondering, be careful what you wish for. They've been wishing for a Supreme Court to sort of strike down Roe for 30, 40, 50 years, and they've gotten it, and they may lose a whole lot of elections because of it. Trump is kind of moonwalking this issue, throwing it to the states. People are going to vote on this. People are going to vote on this issue like they have in certain states, and it's going to be a loser for the GOP. But the GOP has made this marriage with the conservative right, who support them in terms of canvassing houses and voting and money. And so they've made this deal with the devil, and now they have to dance with the devil. And November should be very interesting. The question is, does it stay with the states? If it does, I think more states than not are going to vote down the laws that are there now. Does it go to the federal level, which I don't think it will? I'm sure a lot of companies wish that it would, because it becomes a real game of whack-a-mole to say what states are we going to do business in and hire in.
Yeah.
We've had companies say, hey, we'll ship you to whatever state you want for this healthcare. That's a pain in the ass. Companies don't want to do that. Yeah.
That's just because they're there already, right?
Yeah.
They won't put new locations in those states. And again, I don't want to get away from, you know, they're taking the right away from women, mm-hmm. and that's their decision, a woman's decision. And I mean, I don't want to get away from that, but as this podcast focuses on business, right? The impact for these states, again, they're shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, I've been saying for years, we are trying to go back to 1930, right? I was wrong. We're trying to go back to the 1860s.
It's quite a dichotomy that you have states that are quote unquote business friendly, Arizona, Texas, Florida, you know, low taxes, low regulation. But then you flip the script and say, oh, by the way, abortion's illegal in our state. Companies have to put their money, their dollars to work and get politicians that are going to make a more friendly environment for recruiting and retaining talent. Period. You can't lure me to Texas with low regulations and taxes and then in the back door tell me like, oh, by the way, women are screwed in this state. Sorry.
Yeah, and take your rights away.
Yeah.
Whew, not that Indiana's any better, okay?
We're only a fourth into 2024. We got 200 and some days left till the election. It'll be fun.
Ooh, I can't wait to be on the beach. Anyway, shout outs.
That's true. This is messing with your vibe, man.
Ooh, this is killing my Euro vibe, man.
Chad's had some Euro energy going on, and this is not good for any of that. So yeah, let's
let's get
to some shout outs. All right, number one, Adam Chambers. One of our favorite guests, yes. One of our favorite firing squads. We didn't have video at the time, but my man was in a basement somewhere at his mom's house, maybe. I don't know. He had pillows over his head. Trying to sound as good as possible which we gave him. I think we both gave him a rousing applause. That was a company called Aptly Chat, which he pivoted into nurse recruiting. He's not the first one to see dollars in healthcare, and he made that move. We've kind of lived through him. He's from Ireland, Belfast. He goes to Mexico. He does salsa dancing with beautiful women in South America, Spain. Yeah, he's all over the place. So anyway, he finally got married. I don't know if we're applauding that or maybe it's a sad note of his singledom is gone. But he obviously met quite a lucky woman and couldn't be happier. Yes. For this kid, Adam Chambers, man, good for you. Enjoy life and keep doing what you're doing, man.
I got to say, from those wedding pictures, he's definitely punching up because he did incredibly well. So hopefully she probably has bad eyesight, but good luck. Good luck, kids. Good luck, kids.
That's not nice.
Oh, Adam knows I love him.
Adam. He's fine.
My shout out goes to shitty comms departments. The following came from an HR leader this week, directly connected to us.
Yep.
Quote, Smart Recruiters has not announced that change to its customers yet about Rebecca Carr becoming the interim CEO. Also, the Blue Board disappearing act was nuts. They never contacted us about them dissolving the company, end quote. So this is a customer in a leadership position. So to all of those vendors out there and comms departments out there, make sure your customer engagement game is tight. Okay. Your customers need to know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. Don't be stupid.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb.
You are dumb.
For real.
All right. My last shout out, Seth Godin is a marketing guru, if you will, that I've been following for 20 some years. If you ever read Purple Cow, it's a great book to kind of starting out in marketing. But anyway, he has launched a few things over the years. He actually launched a job site not too long ago and then shut it down eventually. If that tells you something about how hard running a job board is and how bad of a business that it is in most cases. But he just launched a site called Good Bids.
Yeah.
You know, there's not really a good marketplace for giving to charity, silent auction kind of thing. So he's building kind of a marketplace. They have some really cool bidding items. One is have your name in the next John Grisham novel. You'll be a character like Chad Soash could be a character in a novel.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, Fight Club movie poster signed, a lot of sports memorabilia. Awesome. And all of that goes to charities that you select the money to go to. So goodbids.org, if you want to check it out, sign up, bid on some cool things. I highly recommend that. But Seth Godin, good job. Shout out to you for creating goodbids.org. Very nice. Very nice.
Very nice. Well, you might not be bidding for free stuff, but at chadcheese.com/free, you get the free stuff. Look at that t-shirt Joel Cheeseman's wearing right now. Look at it. If you're on YouTube, you can see that. That is sexy. That's
welcome
some Guns and Roses sex appeal right
sexy.
There. Brought to you by Aaron App. That's right, kids. Aaron App, the referral platform. Plus, free craft beer from our friends at Aspen Tech Labs. You could prospectively win free beer delivered to your door. Not by us, by somebody who does that for a living. Whiskey by Text Colonel. Bottle from Joel. Bottle from myself. Great whiskey. And if it's your birthday, kids, rum from Plum. You might win.
Can you feel the tension
on your
in
birthday
the air
month
right now? I know I can. I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
That's right, Chad. A few listeners are celebrating another trip around the sun. No word if they were in the trail of totality this past week with the eclipse.
But they were
celebrating another trip around the sun. Stephen Rothberg, Sean Godfrey, Rick Carner, Jason Casey, Jason Crowell, Amanda Szymanski, Lauren Berger, Molly Stumm, Dave Lowry, and Brian Moore all celebrate another trip.
Happy birthday!
Around the sun this week. Happy birthday, listeners.
It just reminds me of Bad Boys. Mike Lowry. Who are you? Are you Mike Lowry? No, I'm Mike Lowry. All right, we got events. We're going to Unleash America in Vegas. That's at Caesars Forum, which is a great little area. I mean, not only is the forum great, I think, for an event, but the link is right there. You've got all the great restaurants. We are taking the leap and literally jumping off the top of the stratosphere with Matt Bauer from OutHire. That's right, CEO of OutHire.
And a package of Depends for me, my friend. Oh, no.
Dude, it's over 800 feet. And yes, you can jump with us, or you can nominate a friend or enemy. Just go to chadcheese.com and write on the top of the page. You can click the button that says jump with us, nominate yourself or someone else. All thanks to the high-flying staff over at OutHire. So listener, you got to let go of those outdated hiring processes and technologies. Mm-hmm. You got to take the leap. See what I did there?
Go to outhire.ai
today. Then, I know you're excited.
I'm so excited. My wife is super excited too. She's like, have you done your will? Have you updated the will yet?
Then we're going to the -5 bar. But before that, let's talk about this. Great people sent me a box. Did you get
and
one?
Me.
Did you get a box?
And me. I didn't know who it was.
Excellent.
There was no note. Just a mysterious cigar bottle.
I had a note.
Oh, you had
you
a note.
You probably threw the note away because you saw the stag. Barrel strength bourbon.
Yeah.
You saw a cigar. You saw the Glencairn glass. Did you get a bottle of Fireball?
I didn't get stag. I got a West
mini Fireball.
I didn't get a mini Fireball. Is there a story there?
I got a Fireball, and I bet the Fireball is supposed to keep me warm while we are in Omar's Ice Castle at the -5 bar with Diane and Jane from Great People and Omar from John Pixel. So how can you get into the party? Well, follow Joel and me on LinkedIn. You can check out our latest posts where we push the registration link out there. Going to get you a little parka. It's going to feel like it's Finland, all in the desert. It's great. Then on May 8th at the Neon Boneyard, if you have not seen this place,
very sexy.
You've got to go to Google. It's not going to take you to a porn site. I promise. You type in Neon Boneyard and all the pictures that come up on Google. It is amazing. We're going to be partying there, basking in the neon glow. But just go to chadcheese.com/events or go to the chadcheese.com, click on events in the upper right hand corner and click on the join waitlist button there. Join us, our friends from Plum, and it's going to be a good time.
Love it. Dude, Vegas, we're getting too old for this shit, man. We got to pace ourselves a little bit. Pace ourselves.
Speak for yourself, mister. I'm ready for this.
All right, here we go.
Playoffs.
Before we get to the news, we got some big layoff news. Checker has laid off 382 employees due to slowdown in hiring per the company. The layoffs affecting 32% of its workforce aim to improve efficiency. There's that word again, amid economic challenges. In case you missed it, Checker services include criminal record checks and identity verification with clients like Uber and Netflix. The startup, not quite a startup anymore, but they're valued at $5 billion. That was back in 2022. They've raised $679 million in funding.
Wow.
Chad, what can only be, I guess, called a train wreck of sorts. What are your thoughts on the news out of Checker?
Well, it seems like they're not going to be the one buying Fama. We keep talking about all these background check companies that should be, you know, talking to Ben Moniz about the buying Fama and really evolving. It doesn't look like that's happening here. Are we looking at, do you think we're looking at just prepping for acquisition and or just go IPO?
Oh, I don't think IPO is anywhere in the future. So we've recently talked about the three big companies in this space historically have been HireRight. They were acquired by private equity, taken off the public markets.
Off the board.
Yeah, their valuation from the sale was $1.65 billion. And then you had Sterling and First Advantage merge, I guess. It was technically an acquisition of First Advantage over Sterling. Yeah. That valued the companies at $2.2 billion.
Whew.
So basically in 2022, investors were wise enough to think that Checker was twice as valuable as
$5 billion.
Yeah, like $5 billion. So clearly, they weren't going to grow into that valuation, so they have to cut costs. And an easy way to cut costs is, I don't know, a third of your headcount off the books. Frankly, now that they've cut, they need to grow if they're going to have any hope of getting into that valuation. So that means I think it's a perfect time to go buy Fama. Like, take some of this money that you're saving from employees. And there are a ton of mom and pop background check companies with 25, 50, 100 clients. Like, start buying those companies up, start consolidating, because HireRight, Sterling, all those guys have about 12 to 18 months to figure out what the fuck they're doing with private equity and the acquisitions. Yeah. You have a window now and hopefully some money in the bank to go consolidate, and hopefully make the dollars that you're saving worthwhile, because that valuation is makes life hard. We've talked about companies raising too much money. This is a case where Checker raised too much money, and now we're seeing the negative impacts of that, unfortunately, for the employees.
Good luck, guys. The topics.
All right. LinkedIn has launched connected TV, or what the kids call CTV, Chad. Ads and live event ads aiming to help marketers tap into the growing video consumption trend. CTV ads allow marketers to display video campaigns on home TV sets, expanding reach beyond the app. Live event ads promote upcoming LinkedIn events in stream, enhancing event awareness. These initiatives come as LinkedIn seeks to offer more video-focused marketing options. Chad, is LinkedIn listening to our show? Because we've been recommending them get more into videos. What are your thoughts on the news out of LinkedIn?
Have we just become best friends? So there are two aspects I want to take a look at here. And is first and foremost, the platform itself and being able to target on the platform versus streaming, right? So we'll take a look at LinkedIn first. So on LinkedIn's post about this move, they mention, quote, reach engaged decision makers to help our customers capture buyers' attention, end quote. Now, I mentioned last week that I thought LinkedIn and their latest moves were going to pivot toward marketing, and they are, knowing that those dollars available in those budgets are much larger, but would be in combination with the smaller recruitment advertising budgets set. I mean, they're going to have those products available. Last week, I thought, you know, they were going to go toward the B2C with the whole avocado thing that they've done before, but they didn't. They're focusing on B2B. Once again, the quote, reach engaged decision makers, right? So why is this smart? The value proposition goes through the roof when companies are selling higher revenue business products, which cost hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars per year, versus the B2C market with avocados, Tommy John underwear, and meal kits, right? Blue Apron meal kits. The focus and revenue opportunity is much larger. Then I want to talk about the other aspect of this is the streaming partnerships. So let's just take a look at Paramount Plus, because they're talking about Paramount Plus, Roku, Samsung, and then also Universal Premium Streaming. So Paramount Plus, I watch Halo, Mayor of Kingstown, Tulsa King, Ray Donovan. They're all shows that I've enjoyed, but that seems like a huge separation from the B2B buyers on LinkedIn. How are they targeting decision makers with streaming? The short answer is they aren't. So LinkedIn knows who the CEOs are and the business leaders are in their platform. But when they start to stream out, that's going to be an issue. So they try to make these things one, right? We're going B2B. We're going B2B. And this is how we're getting larger distribution. One, the value proposition on the LinkedIn side of the house, value proposition should be much higher, because you know you're going to be targeting leaders and people who actually make decisions versus the streaming aspect. I think it's interesting. I think it's definitely a way forward. This was the only LinkedIn news I've been excited about in a very long time.
Yeah, my comment will start with.
They would have just become best friends.
This is, there's a big if they can pull this off.
Yes.
And you and I both know that LinkedIn don't have a great history of pulling things off effectively.
They don't.
But there's a lot to be excited about this. Retargeting is something that most people, especially on the employment side, don't take advantage of. People don't understand that you can put like some code on your ATS and then serve ads on Instagram about working at your company. Like, it, I know agencies do it, but a lot of people just don't understand it. So the thought of placing an ad on LinkedIn and having, you know, retargeting code on your ATS or your site, or your company site, and then having, based on that, if they can connect, I'm on LinkedIn or I go to the website and then I'm connected through my streaming service that I'm watching a show and I've been to this site and now I can see an ad from that company. So think about a job for a second. Say I'm really looking, somebody comes to LinkedIn, they're looking for sales jobs and the company is posting a sales position. And now when they post the job, it says, hey, would you like this ad to show up on Tulsa King or whatever, or properties, and you're targeting this, maybe it's this age range and this is who watches that show. It's, I mean, the targeting could be really, really, really interesting. Most companies don't have the wherewithal to just say, yeah, let's put a video spot. Let's put a commercial on an ad. Now, what becomes really interesting to me is we've all seen these movies that are made on AI where you just say, like, show me a dog walking through a cornfield, blah, blah, blah. And it literally produces a dog on a, you know, walking through a cornfield. I don't know how I came up with a dog in a cornfield, but anyway, now imagine it saying, okay, we'll create an ad based on the job posting you just put up. We have your company logo because that's on your profile page. We have kind of what you do, where you're located, et cetera, and take all that data and create sort of a template ad, or maybe like, here are three ads that you can show touting the job position that's open at your company, and then redirect people from that ad to go to LinkedIn and apply to the job. That becomes really interesting. If you can give a company the power to automate commercials that look great, that are AI produced and automated, LinkedIn can make a shit ton of money doing, like, rinse and repeating ads for jobs on these stations that people watch. And that goes into their OpenAI relationship. That goes into their Microsoft stuff.
Think about targeting, though, from those ads. You could have a multiple of ads. One could be, you know, that this person is a Black female and the target person in the ad is actually a Black female, right? So you can see yourself in that ad even more, right? So you could target those out even better. I can't see LinkedIn.
You can't see them pull this off.
I think that's a bridge too far for me, right? I'm just trying to get down to the basics here, and I'm having problems with them actually getting the basics done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's probably a little bit much.
That is a future that employers would embrace, because everybody would love to see their ad on it on a show that people watch. They'd love to see, like, oh, and then see who watched it and how many times it was seen, and have people actually apply. Maybe a quick way to point link. I don't know. Point your camera and upload. I don't know how that would work, but easy apply through your phone while you're watching TV. Anyway, it's very exciting if they can pull it off. And it looks like, at least from your point of view, it's not going to happen. In that case, well, it'll just be a big bummer of a news story.
Sorry to squash those dreams.
Do it, LinkedIn. Come on, baby. Come on. Come on. The Kool-Aid's getting a little stale. And it's starting to taste good again. Don't
do the easy stuff. Okay, get it. Okay.
All right, maybe. Maybe our next story. Let's talk Tale of Two Companies. First up, yes. Job and Talent, Spanish based company whose 2023 revenue came in at $450 million, with the U.S. becoming the company's largest and fastest growing market, as well as its most profitable. And now for something completely different. Job.com, who's been very quiet lately and whose most newsworthy achievement in 2024 so far is a CEO with a 7% approval rating on Glassdoor. And you thought Trump and Biden were crushing the favorability scores with a company rating not much better of 19% approval, featuring talk of major payroll issues. Chad, your thoughts on these two diverging companies?
Yeah. So, I mean, they're obviously, we could have the leadership discussion and probably have a whole fucking podcast around that. I'm going to kind of put that to the side and just talk about model, right? Yep. It's talk a little bit about the models. And we actually had Aaron Stewart, who is an amazing
lovely presenter,
and pitcher. That guy, if you need somebody to pitch for you, that guy can pitch. But the model, when we actually, he was on stage with us in Austin, where I think he lives in Texas. Mm-hmm. But he was on stage pitching, and I just couldn't, you loved it to death and I love him, but I just couldn't get the model. I couldn't absorb what they were going to try to do, because their model at job.com was to buy up staffing companies, right? Buy up staffing companies and infuse their tech into those staffing companies. Now, here's the big problem. Once you start buying staffing companies with a margin of 15% to 20%+, to be able to take that money down to 2%, which is what they were talking about, is fucking ridiculous. That's never going to happen, right? You have to flip it the other way around, and you have to become the operating system for said staffing companies, for the industry. So now back to Job and Talent. They have done some acquisitions of staffing companies. They haven't done as much as job.com has. What they have done is they have created an operating system for staffing companies. And what does that mean? Very simply, there shouldn't be somebody on a phone every day talking to somebody about coming in for a warehouse fucking position, right? Those positions should be on an app that are automatically targeting individuals who have those skills, right? And in Job and Talent, it's very simple. You go in, you answer a few questions. Well, first off, you can take a look at all the jobs that are available in your area, right? You can click the one that you want. You can ask a few questions. You can get the job right then. You get the job right then, okay? Now, this job could be a shift, or it could be the job itself. And that's the beauty about this whole market, is that if I'm already working at Amazon, but yet I want to pick up a shift at another warehouse or something like that, I can go on Job and Talent. I can make a little side hustle cash, right? If I'm a nurse and I want to pick up a little bit more cash, although, you know, everybody's, you know, everything, the schedules are full at the hospital that I work with or the clinic that I work with, I can look at another one that's in the next, you know, city or country or county, but or not country, county close to me. And I can go in and I can do that. This is where work is moving from a shift standpoint, right? And the problem is job.com, they couldn't make that happen because of the revenue models, 20% to 2%, right? Job and Talent, who's coming from Europe, is smashing them. And how many companies come to the U.S. and smash it? Not many.
Not very many. It typically doesn't work out very well, Chad.
60% of the time, it works every time.
By the way, if I was going to tell you, you have the choice of picking job.com or Job and Talent with an ampersand in between the two, which do you think will be the more successful company? You would automatically think job.com would. Look, tell me if you've heard this story before. Cool name, colorful founder.
Pets.com.
Jobster. Those that remember Jobster, very colorful.
Oh, yeah.
A little more abrasive.
Jason, much like Aaron.
Yes, but a carnival barker. I think you've called both of them at some point. Yeah. great sales guys, big personalities, a little bit of direction challenge with both. What are we going to be when we grow up? If you remember, job.com had some credit card thing that they gave, like, it was really confusing, and they've pivoted.
That's how they paid people.
Yeah.
They paid it through the credit card, right?
Yeah.
And job and talent, what do? You pay through the app.
Yeah. Yeah. Credit card versus app. Very apropos comparison there.
Yeah.
So, and then to go into the other, you know, Jason Goldberg, a Jobster, was lucky enough to not have Glassdoor when he was apparently threatening people. And I was covering this when I was blogging back in the day. They had an amazing team. I can't say that job.com has an amazing team because I don't know most of them, but poorly received CEO. People aren't happy. There were probably issues with paying people at Jobster, or what's good, like layoffs, things like that. Now, if you look at job.com's insights, like headcount has remained pretty steady. My guess is that's because of the acquisitions. They keep adding headcount by buying these companies. Mm-hmm. But there's clearly trouble in the house. And when you have trouble in the house, like, it just spills over into everything. Job and talent, regardless of the name, has somehow figured out the sauce of ease of use. You know, young people understand this is the way that I want to work. Give me my phone. Let me apply. Let me work. Get paid through that. And that just seems to work, where people like Snag a Job. Yep. They were going to try this, a few others. So, yeah, tale of two companies. I mean, I think you look inside management, it just seems to be a mess at job.com, which is unfortunate. We both like Aaron a lot. I don't know what's going on there. We haven't heard from them in a long time, where we used to hear from them all the time about what's going on. Let me tell you about what we're doing. They're very, very quiet. And then we have this company coming out of Spain and just kicking ass and showing a lot of companies how it's done. I'm wondering how, like, a job case is looking at job and talent success and saying, where can we catch this lightning? Because they have a lot of users, and I don't know, how they're monetizing it, but.
Yeah.
Jobcase might want to look at job and talent, and how do we change our model into something more.
Or job and talent might want to look at Jobcase from an acquisition standpoint.
That's true,
just
too.
Because
that's
of the size, they've, right?
They've raised $1.3 billion.
Yeah, the staffing industry in the U.S. alone is $218 billion.
Yeah.
$1 billion. So the ability for a job and talent to buy into a job case that has a humongous fucking community already.
Yep.
I think that's a very good call, Cheeseman.
That could be interesting. Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Do you like that one better than Stepstone Buying Career Builder?
Oh, yes. Yeah. They this one makes sense. This one makes sense. Yeah.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
All right, Chad, I first read this as a Marvel story when it said multiverse, but no, it's not a Marvel story. London-based Multiverse, which claims to deliver a new kind of apprenticeship that combines education, work, and technology, has acquired San Fran-based Searchlight, which says it provides a bias-free AI that filters top applicants by relevant work experience, hard skills, and soft skills. Terms were not disclosed. Searchlight had previously raised $19.5 million and employs 16 people, while Multiverse has raised $418 million and employs a little over 1,000 folks. Chad, your thoughts on the Multiverse Searchlight deal?
Yeah, I see this much like Workday's acquisition of HiredScore. Workday hadn't a fucking clue about AI and training large language models, which means they didn't know how to explain and or defend them. Athena and the team at HiredScore lived and breathed it. So the tech and the acquisition made sense. In this case, Multiverse fills a gap with the Searchlight acquisition in the same way. Multiverse gains a platform geared toward IO science, culture data, hiring outcomes, basic auditing, and they've got a ton of integrations with different applicant tracking system platforms that are out there. I know, trying to go out and actually hire individuals to build something like this for a platform, that is going to take a very long time and a hell of a lot of money. This is a shortcut for them, not just from the standpoint of a tech from a tech standpoint, but also from a people standpoint, from an expertise in-house standpoint. To me, this makes a hell of a lot of sense. And since last November, during Multiverse layoffs, they laid off about 30 people, founder Ewan Blair, that's right, Tony Blair's kid, stated that the U.S. business didn't meet revenue targets and required too much financial investment, and that Multiverse would have to focus on a more tailored approach in specific sectors for the U.S. market, which is what we talk about on every show, just about, right? Almost weekly, target a sector, knock it out of the park, then expand. Now they're feeding their data into Searchlight to accelerate that process and scale in those targeted sectors, meaning they can expand much faster. So again, if you take a more focused approach, how do you get to expansion faster? This is how you do it, right? You expand within that sector first, and then you explode out. This is, I think, a smart acquisition for them and necessary.
Another one.
So you stole a lot of my thunder on this one, particularly the Tony Blair relation there. I was hoping that you would mention that so I could drop that one. Although the Searchlight founders are twins, so you didn't mention that. So I will mention that they are twin ladies.
It was kind of eerie looking at that. I was saying, is that an AI thing or no? No, oh, they're actually
there. Will
twins,
be a founding team of AI that's a billion-dollar company one day. I've heard that on a podcast somewhere. The one thing for me is that Multiverse has been around since they're on year eight. They've been around for a while. They're not profitable. Mm-hmm. The U.S., I don't think, is going the way that they had hoped that it would. And they should be killing it. I mean, apprenticeships and that business should be doing very, very well.
Yep.
So someone said, I'm sure, let's get some tech in here. Let's get some people who know tech, not just Tony Blair's, his son,
kid.
Right?
Kid, yeah.
Yeah, just, okay, we've got a famous guy. Now we need people who know what the hell they're doing. So both founders are going to be in executive positions with the company, which means they'll be helping drive the ship, which I think is good. They're not like leaving. It sounds like they're going to be in it at least, you know, for the next year or so.
Yeah, lock them
in. So lock them in. If they can bring people that know what they're doing, bring San Francisco talent and Silicon Valley folks into this company that has raised a ton of money. They were a unicorn at one point. I don't know if they still are, but you have a lot of money. You have a high profile founder. Now you have technology. You have people that know what they're doing there. You have their Y Combinator darling, actually. It's some of the news stories that I read. So yes, it'll make sense. I mean, the apprenticeship thing with high tech stuff, there may be some growing pains there, but I think ultimately this is a much better chance of succeeding than Workday sucking up a company like HiredScore. I give this a lot better chances of success because you don't have a Workday bureaucracy to deal with. Yeah. Multiverse is still a fairly flexible, small company in relation to Workday.
Totally agree.
All right, let's get to one of my favorite games. I think it's one of your favorite games as well.
2 a.m. in the bar.
Who'd you rather, everybody? Here we go. All right. Here's how we play. We talk about two companies, startups that have recently gotten funding, and Chad and I choose who we'd rather. Let's play. First up, we've got New York City-based Summer, a workplace student loan solution provider. They've raised $9 million in funding led by Rebalance Capital and Semper Virens. The funds will be used to expand the team and enhance the technology. Summer partners with employers to provide student loan and education assistant benefits. That is Summer in corner number one. Corner number two, we have CareyLoop, a Richardson, Texas-based provider of a caregiver support platform. They've raised $20 million in Series C funding. The company helps families manage their care needs by connecting them to an employer-sponsored solution. CareyLoop coaches provide professional support while its digital platform offers resources and tools to support caregiving. Chad, that is CareyLoop and Summer. Who'd you rather?
I want to start with Care Loop. So $43 million in total funding and have been around for 12 years. They've created a marketplace for caregivers with a concierge service built in. And since most people have no clue what fucking services are available, let alone which ones that would fit for them and their needs, Care Loop could be pretty much the technical infrastructure and operating system for partners and healthcare solutions nationwide. On the other hand, Summer, the only student repayment solution as a benefit I want to hear about is how companies can take on the burden themselves. I'm not interested in another scheme that puts a new shade of lipstick on the fucking corporate welfare pig. So it's 2 a.m. in the morning in the club. It's bumping. Who would I rather? I'd rather Care Loop.
What are you doing, Steph?
All right, Care Loop. So both of these hit home for me. I had student debt. And I have parents that I could help give care to. So the question for me is, who's in office? Because Biden is really good about excusing student loans. And if that trend continues, we may not have a need for a company called Summer because no one will have student debt. We will still have student debt. But yes, I want to hear about tax benefits for companies that pay off student loans or maybe match student loan payments. Like, let's get creative around this, folks. Like, also on the other end of like not like reducing the cost of college, that's a bigger question than like I think corporate initiatives, but let's have something that incentivizes a company to like help pay off student debt for their employees. To me, that is more exciting than let's just hire a company or buy a solution that people can then access and hopefully help pay down stuff. Now, on the care stuff, baby boomers, 77 million people, 10,000 people a day are retiring. That means sickness. That means care. That means assisted living. That means hospice. Like, these are real issues for me.
Yes.
So I know they're big for issues for Americans. A lot of other people. Yes. And that also, I think you could also carry in, does childcare come into this? I don't know. But definitely on the aging parent thing, would I like to hire professionals to help me through that? Would I like to hire that, have that benefit as someone who has parents to deal with? So for me as well, like, I think they both deserve some applause. But yeah, maybe it's age bias or like where, like, I paid off my student loan 20 years ago, so I haven't really had to deal with that lately, whereas I have an 84-year-old dad. So just recency bias, I think I'm also happy picking Care Loop at the corner of the bar, stepping on the sticky floor. Sticky floor. All right. That is another game of Who'd You Rather. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk a little automation. All right, Chad, Waymo and Uber, technically Uber Eats, are teaming up to launch automated Uber Eats in Waymo's Phoenix service area. Customers can opt for robot delivery from select merchants, though they'll need to meet the vehicle outside to collect their order. No word yet if Chipotle is participating in this in this test market, but we'll let you know when we find out. Chad, what are your thoughts on Waymo's marriage with Uber Eats?
I think Waymo is definitely not the product for this. I mean, they're also partnering with Serve Robotics, which is one of those, you know, the smaller kind of like robots that can go down the sidewalk. I see those in cities. I don't see those like, you know, in rural areas where they can get beat up by, you know, baseball bats and shit like that. But there's also Nuro, N-U-R-O. These are autonomous vehicles that are they're built for this. The Waymo cars are literally just built for humans to be inside. So they're great for taxis. But in this case, I think the Nuro and the little sidewalk robot are probably the smart way to go. And maybe, I don't know, we'll see some evolution of this, but I think this is really interesting. The big question is, do you care? Because you currently get stuff that's delivered to right to your doorstep, and all you have to do is go out, somebody delivers it to you, you take it.
It's lovely. Right?
But this one, you got to go out to you got to put your shoes on, you got to go out to the driveway, and I know this sounds fucking lazy, but you got to do all those things. Open the door. It should be in the trunk, right? So they pop the trunk, you get the food out of the trunk, you close the trunk, and then you go back in. Is this something that you think you're going to do, or you're just going to insert
that
shit? I
have the buffet heat light in the trunk if they're keeping my food warm or not. By the way, Chad, if it's If there's a barbacoa bowl in that trunk, I'm walking through a snake pit and an alligator.
Okay.
To get my barbacoa bowl. Interestingly,
walking through Australia.
Yeah. And if there's a blooming onion in there, God damn it. I'm fighting off Vikings and Roman soldiers. But we're going to be in Phoenix next week for the Paradox analyst meeting. And I'm going to try this out. I'm going to download Waymo. I'm going to be like, take me to In-N-Out. So I'm going to try the taxi service out. The people who have tried it that I've talked to really love it.
Oh, yeah.
So why not deliver food as part of, you've already downloaded the app, as our YouTube viewers can see. Check that out at youtube.com/@ChadCheese. Anyway, I'm a fan, dude. Now, I feel kind of bad. So now there's an employee that's going to have to go take the food out to the car, whereas today, like, DoorDash goes into the restaurant and then takes it. So
to pick it up.
Some poor slob flipping burgers is going to have to, like, go out to the Waymo and put the food in and then say, like, go. And then, yes, I'm going to have to go get it. Now, the good thing is the tips are refunded if you choose the Waymo. Yes. So I think as a consumer, more people than not will choose to have to go out to the street than pay the tip. Now, that's in my suburb area. If I live in a 50-story building, I may not want to go down and get my food. But for the suburbs, baby, bring my barbacoa bowl, get the buffet heating light. I'm hungry. We out.
Wow. Look at you. You made it through an entire episode of the Chad and Cheese podcast. Or maybe you cheated and fast-forwarded to the end. Either way, there's no doubt you wish you had that time back. Valuable time you could have used to buy a nutritious meal at Taco Bell, enjoy a pour of your favorite whiskey, or just watch big booty Latinas and bug fights on TikTok. No, you hung out with these two chuggleheads instead. Now go take a shower and wash off all the guilt. But save some soap, because you'll be back. Like an awful train wreck, you can't look away. And like Chad's favorite Western, you can't quit them either. We out.